Hey, welcome back everybody to Bad Film Good, the podcast where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question, is this bad film good? My name is Declan.
And I'm Ada. No, hang on. Let me think of something more clever.
What about Babeden?
I'm Lillian.
No, wait.
No.
I'm Nigel Thornberry.
Oh, yeah, there we go, yeah.
It's Aiden. Oh, smashing. Oh, yes. Very smashing indeed.
In case you hadn't guessed, today we will be looking at Rugrats Go Wild, the epic crossover between...
Rugrats Go Wild! Woo! Spring Break! Woo!
Spring Break? I hope not. The crossover between Rugrats and the Wild Thornberrys. But before we get into that, Aiden, why don't you tell us, what is Shrek Gone Wilding today?
What is Shrek Gone Wilding this week? I don't know. I'm in what's that thing? What's that thing called? The Vatican? Shrek? I'm in a Vatican kind of mood.
What does that mean? You're in a Vatican kind of mood? We're talking about a film about babies, dude? You don't want to go down that road.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Where's the lie?
So this is an article from Dextero, and it says... Sorry, no, Dexerto. Don't know if that makes a difference.
I always do that. I always make that mistake. Yeah. I think it's a dyslexic thing, and I'm pretty sure that I am mildly dyslexic.
That's lit. It says, man gets revenge on landlord with Shrek after getting kicked out.
Oof.
So the article says, TikToker that projector guy claimed his landlord kicked him out and soon got his revenge by projecting, fuck me, the Shrek movie onto the building. So that's
revenge.
Yeah, that's the tagline, right? So that's basically the whole article, and that's like the shite's revenge. This is what he has to say. In a viral clip that's generated more than 2.6 million views, that projector guy decided to grab his projector and blast the first Shrek film on the apartment building he was allegedly kicked out of. My landlord kicked me out of my apartment building without any warning and won't even let me back in to get my stuff. That's fully illegal.
Stream all four fucking Shrek films against that building. That's fully illegal. You can't do that.
But I don't believe this guy.
Only a court can actually force you out of a fucking room.
Yeah, what the
even fuck? Even if he was at fault and the landlord said we severed your tenancy, your fucking notice is up and you're still in the house. Still, even then, court has to force them out. You can't just do that. If anyone's listening and their landlord's fucking them around, I've had to deal with some shit before, I tell you now.
But that is why...
You I have rights.
Yeah, but I don't fucking believe this guy, because saying my landlord, without any warning, and won't even let me back to get my stuff. What the fuck are you talking about? Like... doesn't happen. Yeah, how?
Do you take
physically
his keys?
How?
Like, is he just stood in the doorway like, no?
No.
You're not going back in. No.
So I'm just going to project Shrek at max brightness and volume every night until they let me back in. Projecting Shrek on my apartment building until my... that's just the caption of the video.
The landlord's going to come out and be like, what are you doing? I just asked if you could step out for a second because there was a massive gas leak and he needed to fix it.
And he won't let me back in.
Yeah. I asked you to leave because you were setting fire to the flat.
That wasn't a one-time thing. The projector guy uploaded a second video showing his level of commitment. Update. This is a quote. Update. My landlord still hasn't let me back into my apartment building after kicking me out without any warning. I guess, I don't fucking believe this guy.
Fully don't believe him.
Yeah.
No. 100%.
So continuing to project Shrek with even bigger, brighter, louder projector every night and giving people a show until they let me back in, he writes in the second clip. What the...
I'm searching it now. Guy kicked
there's
out
no
of
fucking
the
way.
The top
there's
result no is fucking... Love Island.
Some of the comments say, honestly, just project a bunch of movies and enjoy yourself. Another said, you're an inspiration. I hope you get your stuff back. Another said, would just say call the police. But this is just too funny. Other folks offered suggestions for movies such as Megamind. And horror movies, Human Centipede. While many folks appeared to love the idea, other commenters said that the projector guy could have taken a more productive approach. Like this person wrote, bro, call the police, get a lawyer, do anything more productive than playing Shrek. That's the end of the article.
That's a good note to leave it on.
Yeah, but I don't believe you. Because you would get arrested for causing a disturbance. Because if it's an apartment building and you're projecting fucking bright lights onto it, one of the other people in the apartment going to be like, this guy's
just
shining.
Can you not?
Yeah. Can you fucking not? And he's like, oh, wait, let me get my fucking stuff out of the apartment. And they're like, I don't fucking care. It's 3 a.m. I'm calling the police. And then good, because the police will show up and you'll be like, this guy's unlawfully kicked me out of my apartment. Basically,
that's
no.
That's so dumb.
That's a lie. That's
unless
a lie.
It's... Wait,
and
is
it's
it,
a TikTok.
To be fair, I
it's
just
It's a viral
thought,
we, TikTok.
But is it so, America? I don't know if they have different... Anything... Any sort of different rules over there.
That's a good point. But, I don't know. What? And I don't care to... I still don't believe this guy, so I don't care to...
Thing is, I typed guy kicked out apartment Shrek and it just came up with like the articles you'd looked at. So I put Reddit on the end because normally if you do something like that, you can find people talking about it. And one of the wonderful things about Reddit, maybe one of the few things, but one of the wonderful things is that people love to be right and prove other people wrong. So normally if you have a story and it's wrong, you'll get that one guy that's like, this isn't
that's
right.
Me.
Here's the link, whatever. So that would normally come up and then I could find out like what was going on and whatever. But there's no results that match it to do with Reddit. But there is one that the title is just Landlords Are People Too, Shrek is Donkey's Landlord. That's it.
Excellent. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. I think on that note.
Yeah.
Shrekking aside, this week we, as I said on top, up top, we watched Rugrats Go Wild.
Woo!
Nothing gone wild here. Hang on, let's just tone it down a little bit. No, we watched this on Amazon Prime, which describes it as being the Rugrats get tangled in an exotic adventure. Oh Jesus, that sounds bad. Where they're helped by the Thornberrys, a family that travels the world making nature documentaries. I mean, they don't mention the fact that one of the Thornberrys can speak to animals, but yeah. I guess people knew who they were at the time. So
that's a good point. I used to love Rugrats, and I've seen a lot of Rugrats. The Thornberrys, I don't think I've really watched it. All I knew, as soon as I saw the Thornberrys, I was like, the only thing I know about this is, what's the girl's name? Debbie, but from the Thornberrys. I was like, I remember having a crush on her. And that's literally it. That's literally all I know about
I couldn't place who she reminded me of. I don't know what it was, like whether it was a character or an actor or something. There was just something.
Someone you know.
There was just a couple of times. I don't think anyone that I know, but like there's a couple times where I was like, man, who does that remind me of? And I, before you say it, no, I don't think it was her character from back when I used to watch it as a kid. I'll have a think on it and see if I can remember. But yeah. Before I do that, or while I'm doing that, Aiden, why don't you give us a little bit of info on this bad boy?
Okay, so it was made in 2003, directed by Norton Vergine and John Eng, which I was going to look it up, but then I couldn't be bothered. I don't know if they're like the two, like one's from Rugrats and one's from Wild Thornberries, and they're involved in the show. No idea, and could be asked to look it up. It stars E.G. Daily, Nancy Cartwright, Kath Soucy, Steve Boucher, Diane Kwan, Cheryl Chase. I don't know if she's any relation to Chevy Chase. Let's not look it up. Tim Curry, Lancy Chabert, and Bruce Willis.
I know.
Fucking crazy, dude.
Which I kind of wish that I hadn't, because I briefly looked at it, because at one point Reiser was like, does one of these people voice Bart Simpson? Which is yes. The one who voices Chucky. The lady who voices Chucky.
Nancy Cartwright.
Who I just remembered because she did this weird, like, kind of uncomfortable, like, thing that was supposed to be funny where she went to like a McDonald's or something, or some place in America like that, like a Dunkin' Donuts or something, and like went up to the till to make her order, but she did it with the Bart voice, and the guy was like, okay. And then and then it was like, because she voices Bart, and he was like, all right. It just didn't care.
Wasn't that for a talk show or something?
I don't know. It might have. All I remember is seeing that clip of her, doing it and expecting to be like, "Oh, what? That's so weird, man! You voice Bart Simpson? Actually voice Bart Simpson? Oh man!"
The guy's like, okay.
He was just like, "Look, I am 11 hours into a 13-hour shift.
Yeah,
I'm so close to going home.
I get paid and three. You're really an hour. Just."
You're really making it difficult to get past this like last bit of the day. All right, so just fuck off.
So it had a budget of $25 million, and it's made just over $55 million, which like I don't think that's that good. But then I couldn't find looking it up, but I didn't know if this had just gone straight to DVD or if this actually had a cinematic release. No idea. Couldn't find anything about it. 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 40% Rotten Tomatoes, and only 38 Metacritic liked it. So,
yeah,
let's fucking go.
Let's go wild.
Let's go wild.
No, we're not going wild. We're not. This isn't
the Rugrats
bad film
went
good
wild.
Gone wild. No. No, they did not, Aiden. We're not mixing these two worlds.
I'm just saying, I'm jumping ahead a tiny wee bit, but at one point they say they're on a boat and one of them says, "Oh, I can't go to bath time because I don't have my rubber ducky." And then the other one says, "Look, there's a ducky," and it's a seagull or something. And then four of the babies just like drop their pants and you see bare ass. And I was like, Rugrats go wild! Woo!
Don't think you want to admit that. Yeah, it's fucking weird. About, I mean, what, like 10 minutes into the movie and you've seen five babies' asses for some reason?
Yeah, it is a bit confronting. But, you know, spoilers, I fucking love. I have very fond memories of, and I fucking love, Rugrats. So I think I'm kind of had a biased opinion.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of stuff that like really tickled those like nostalgia bells where I was like, yeah, these voices sound familiar.
Yeah.
And like lots of different things like that. I feel like, I mean, the Rugrats, I don't remember really watching it much. I know that I did watch like some. I mainly remembered the like video game on like PlayStation 1 where, and I remember it because it was just super weird because you could go all over the house and you unlocked stuff as you went and it was like quite cool and you'd have to collect all these pieces of this puzzle and you'd have to do this like, it was like the house was the hub and then you could go to, let's say, the back garden and talk to somebody there. And if you interacted with them, it would start like a small little level and we had like a mini game to do and whatever and all this kind of stuff. And there was one of them where legitimately was to do with aliens and you go into an alien spaceship and you have to like escape the spaceship and whatever. It was super weird, but that was one of my favorite ones. But the other one, I never did. I never completed it because it was so difficult. And obviously now it's probably like super easy. But it's where it's like a nighttime thing and it's the house at nighttime. And you've got like, it's like a really long level because some of them were short, like mini games, and some of them were like longer levels. And it was this whole thing where you've got to find a few different people. You've got to find like Spike, the dog. You've got to find a couple other people, I think, so that they can help you get high up enough by standing on their backs and things so that you can open the fridge so that you can use the fridge light to see and to like be safe because there are fucking ghosts.
Oh, the
like,
ghosts! Floating I know around. This. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You Do you remember this?
You unlocked a fucking deep ass memory when you said about ghosts.
Deep-ass memory.
I remember this. What the fuck?
Yeah, because you have all these ghosts, and you have like a torch, and you can make the ghosts go away with the torch.
You shine
the
it
torch
like
only.
Them.
Yeah, you only have a certain amount of battery life on the torch, and if you don't have any more, you fucking die or something. I don't know. The ghosts just get you. And I can't remember if you could find like more battery stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just remember
just
that, like,
floating about.
Yeah, and I just remember that I could never find Spike or something like that. I could never, like, complete that level. And it was, like, the spooky, scary level and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it was so good. And they were just so, like, that was a cool game, I think, for the PlayStation 1. But I don't remember what my original point was. I just wanted to talk about... Oh, no, it was just sort of what I thought about the thing. So that's kind of what I remembered of Rugrats. And The Wild Thornberrys was one of the ones which I think that I liked more as a kid, but I never got to watch much of it.
So when
I think we had this DVD. We either had this or we had... I think we had an actual Wild Thornberrys DVD at home, not... I think it was like the Wild Thornberrys movie or something, not the crossover.
Right.
Because I just love those characters. And watching this, 100%, like... The Rugrats ones, I was like, yeah, cool. Like, you know, you've got the different, like, I remember these guys and some of them get a bit more screen time than others and whatever. And I was like, yeah, it's the Rugrats. But anything with the Wild Thornberrys, I was like, whoa!
Yeah, that's fun.
Because I just fun. Love them.
Because I'm like the opposite. I was like, oh, yeah. Thornberrys. I like, the one thing that I would say, the one thing that I was a little bit disappointed was that... Tim Curry, fucking national treasure, but he gets spoilers. He gets like fucking, he falls off a fucking cliff and then gets brain damage from a coconut. and I was like, bro, should be dead. But he gets whacked on the head. So then he thinks he's a baby.
He thinks he's like 3 years old or something.
Yeah.
For some reason.
For most of the film. So then it's like not the Nigel Thornberry that I know. It's like, smashy. Let's fucking the RV.
No, but you know why? Because they had to Professor X him.
You know, he's too powerful.
Yeah. So yeah, they had to do something to take him out. until a later part in the story.
I am become death.
Smashing, yes. Become death. Oh, yes. Very good, yes.
But yeah, I mean, if we kind of get into the summary of what happens, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. The Rugrats get stranded on the island that the Wild Thornberrys are in. Like, a bunch of stuff happens. You get 20 years too early, because this was 2003 this came out.
Oh my god, yeah, it's literally 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years too early. They have a story about people being trapped in a submarine at the bottom of the bottom of the ocean.
The Rugrats goes wild. They predicted
it's like the Simpsons thing where they predict stuff.
Dread, there'll be a submarine of billionaires.
But yeah, and it's, I mean, the way that this film starts is so abrupt and in your face. It was wild. First things, like, straight away, because again, I didn't remember much. So I was thinking, like, okay, maybe they're all on like a safari or something, and the kids are all playing like within this, because immediately they're all wearing like safari kind of uniforms, and then one of them has a camera, and I was like, why do the babies have a camera?
Well, she's three, and what's her face, not Angelica, what's her called? I'll look it up, I can't remember. She's three, so I know she's who you're slightly talking about. Older, so she's right. A toddler, and she's like the
she's
smart
three
toddler.
I thought that she'd be like, I thought she was supposed to be like older, like seven or something.
Nah. Susie.
Yeah.
Susie is...
Because these are all of them are like the mainstays of the show, right? Because I kind of remembered her, but I didn't know if she's normally like in it a lot, or whether it's just the babies and Angelica bullies them or whatever.
Yeah, she's normally in it. She is like... I can't remember if she's introduced like slightly further down the line or she's in it from the very start, but she's definitely in the TV series. That's what I remember. But I can't remember. She's just such a weird character because in this, the whole thing is like,
Angelica's a bitch.
Angelica is a cunt, and so is Dill Pickle.
So which one's Dill?
The little baby who's like,
that's the little tiny baby. Because I remember when your Instagram handle was Dill Pickle, and I had no idea like what I thought it was a type of pickle. And I was like, what's
it is
dill
a type
pickle?
Of pickle.
So it is.
Yeah, that's why it's funny.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was, but then when I saw this, I was like, oh, is it just a name? Am I being dumb? I thought it was a type of pickle.
Dill pickle.
Yeah, I remember, because you had dill pickle, you had Lisa Simpson.
I had Lisa Simpson. Can't remember what else I had. Just changed, and now I'm just boring. that's funny. Okay, yeah. So in Rugrats, she's three, and then there's obviously Rugrats All Grown Up, where she's 12. But
Rugrats All Grown Up, was that?
Wait, was that
a film or a show?
A show where they're all like a little bit older, and they what go the to fuck? Like school and shit. It's fucking weird.
They're not really rugrats then anymore, are they? They're more like rapscallions. Something like whippersnappers.
Brave rapscallions.
Magic, oh yeah.
Magic. It's fucking weird. So they're all... Tommy's dad, Stu Pickle, is, he's like, I've organised a lovely cruise for everyone to go on. For all the family, all the close family friends. Susie, but not her parents for some reason, so we'll just take this child with us. That's like... What,
yeah, so I didn't really know. There was a lot of things, again, because I haven't seen it for ages. Most of the time I was like, I don't know whose kid belongs to who or what's going on. There's so many parents and so many kids and I just don't know what's happening. Also, before they do any of that, in the beginning where the babies have the camera and I was like, what's going on? And it looks like they're on a safari and stuff. Then there's just a fucking tiger. And then it's suddenly like they're fighting off this tiger and like all of this crazy shit. And I was like, bro, straight to 100. What the fuck is this? This is crazy shit. They didn't give us a moment. And then it's revealed that it was all just like imaginary and they're in a sandpit and, and whatever. But the way they did it, where they had like a Matrix style, like they kind of all freeze and the camera like rotates around them all and then it switches. And they're all in the sandpit, and it's like the cat instead of the tiger, and it does the Matrix thing. I was like, that was so unnecessary, but so good. Like, what? You would not see. When do they make this kind of effort for a kid's film? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is this?
I feel like you. Because I'm coming from the Rugrats lore knowledge, that's their thing.
That's what they do, right?
They have this imaginary world that they imagine. So, like, they're usually doing wild shit. And then, like, you see the real world and they're just, like, playing with a cup or something.
Which is kind of what the game was, right? They were always imagining that crazy shit was happening. Were crazy shit and whatever when really... In reality, it's not. And that's something that, again, I kind of didn't really remember until after having watched that. Because I was like, oh, I don't... I'd forgotten any prior context. I was like, oh, well, they must just be like, they're already here. And there's a fucking tiger. What is happening? And
there's a good line in that bit. When you get the reveal of like, oh, they were just imagining it. Philip, which is one of the twins. He's the boy twin. And he goes,
yeah.
I think the parents are like, kids, we're going, like, get your stuff together or whatever. And then, so they all stop, and then Phil goes, let's look for cookies under stuff.
I think that they really nail just, like, kids and how kids, obviously they act like a lot, you know, they can talk and they can kind of think a lot more coherently than normal kids, but... The way that they kind of have stuff like that, where he's let's go and look for cookies underneath objects. Like, brilliant.
But it's also the stuff that they say, like, it's so well done with that.
Yeah.
Just Rugrats in general, like, they're always doing it. But it's like when they just keep calling Nigel Thornberry Nigel Strawberry. It's just relentless. It's like, oh, good stuff.
And then on the flip side, they have, like, because you kind of have the establishing, you know how it goes with films, where it's like, they have that thing and then the reveal that it was all imaginary, and then Angelica comes along and saying a fucking, not Dill Pickle, the other baby Pickle.
Tommy.
Tommy, that's it. And she says to Tommy, like, oh, you're so stupid and dumb, little baby stupid face. You'll never be a big adventurer like Nigel Strawberry because... you're a dumb, stupid baby. And then they all walk off. And then he's like sat there in the sandpit with his head in his hands. And I was like, bro, babies should not be having existential crises. he's sat in the fucking sandpit like, maybe I will never be like a great adventurer. Like, I'm like, bro, dude, go and eat some fucking sand.
Bro's got depression.
He's pre-ordered depression.
Yeah.
Early access depression.
It's good stuff.
But yeah, so they go to this, cruise ship, and like, this is how fucked up Stu is. Because he's like, he's like, I've booked you onto this lovely cruise, and they're all excited, and he's just like, yeah, we're going on a cruise, to the point, and like, the reveal is that he's not booked them onto the cruise, he's rented out a shitty little boat. That they're going to
really
sail
shitty
a
boat.
Really shitty, really small boat that they're going to go on his own cruise adventure with. And I was like, he didn't even fucking Not only did he not tell them originally, to the point where they've like it's his sister-in-law. It's Angelica's mum. She's a bit of a twat. She's like so. She's always on her phone, like, doing business calls and whatever. And she's like, oh, I'm so excited. I've booked and paid for all of the massages on this boat. And I was like, you still not gonna tell her, dude, like, paid for. Is that shit refundable? Not gonna say anything?
How did she book it? How did she book it?
Because
they don't have tickets.
Exactly. They didn't ask for their ticket number or something. And then they're like, oh, okay, cool. Time to go. Let's go to the dock. They're fucking there. They're lining up to get on the boat. They're like, oh, Stu's got all the tickets. We'll just wait in this queue. They're fucking waiting in the queue. How long have they been there? Like a couple hours. They're just like, yep. Stu will be here soon, so let's just wait in the queue, because he'll be here. I'm waiting. He'll be here, don't worry. And then, like, to the point where the boat sails off, he's still not there, he's still not told them. And it's just like, bro, the boat is leaving. Where's Stu? They run after the boat, and he's probably seen them at this point, because they're like, oh my god, we're here with all of our things ready for a cruise. We've got our suitcases, we've got our children, we've taken our fucking children here. And then Stu just rocks up in this little shitty boat and goes, ah,
gotcha.
I've rented a shit boat. Bro,
this is not child safe.
No way child safe. No way is it fucking purpose safe. Because they're just following the cruise ship. They're in the middle of the fucking ocean.
Don't they, like, go the opposite direction to the cruise ship, I thought?
Potentially, they do.
They just go off into the middle of nowhere, not even on the route of the cruise ship.
Yeah. So they just get, he's like, don't worry, this will be fun. Like,
what are you going to do in that small boat?
Yeah, if I'm the brother of this guy, or the close family friend of this guy, or whatever, I'm like, I'm not fucking going with you. I'm taking my kid and I'm going home. What the fuck are you talking about? Where's the bed? Yeah. There's no room for beds on that boat. It's fucking wild. I mean, these people, we'll see, we'll get into it a bit more, and we see throughout the film, these people are terrible parents.
Awful.
They are just fucking useless. And we see this, I mean, if you've seen any of the other films or any Rugrats, you know that these people are just terrible people. Child services should just be taking these children away. Because it's unbelievable. That, like, to the point where Tommy's mum, because they're in the jungle and, like, the kids have been lost and stuff, and they're like, shit, we've got to find our kids. And she says the line, this feels familiar. Because in the first Rugrats film, the kids go fucking missing in a forest. It's the same thing that's happened. And it's happened again. Unbelievable. Unfucking believable.
Jesus. Although I will say, one of my favorite jokes, like like visual jokes that they did in this film is literally just the bit where they see his boat pull up and the cruise ship's like sailing away. And his boat pulls up and he's like, guys, get in. It's going to be a fun-filled adventure trip or whatever on this boat. And then Angelica's mum, the one who's always on her phone and stuff, just looks at him, fucking swan dives into the water and starts swimming after the cruise ship.
Yay. Yeah.
It's like, what's it? That's just it. She's like, all right, see ya. And she just fucking dips. I was like, brilliant. And I wish that they had just like not had her in the rest of the film.
I was fully like, I've seen Rugrats. She might not turn up. This might be it. It was good stuff. There was another one that... So the boat sinks because of like they're in a tiny
massive waves.
Ship. Yeah, in the middle of the ocean. So the boat sinks.
You could say that it was Rugrats chipwrecked.
See, that's the crossover that we needed.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally the same.
Yeah, I mean it kind of is, but. So they sink and then they're on this little rubber dinghy, they're in the middle of the ocean, and then it's stormy, there's raining, it's all grey, and then Angelica just starts singing like really shitly, and I was like, oh my god, this is fucking, like this is just so
you're like, no, I'd punt that kid off the boat.
Yeah, I would. They're like, yeah, just that's nice, Angelica, but I'd be like, shut the hell up! We're gonna die out here.
And then she fucking loses her
Cynthia doll.
Cynthia doll, yeah. But then gets it back like straight away because she's at the island or something.
Yeah, so
that they shipwreck too.
Yeah, so they wash up on. She drops her Cynthia doll, and. Then they wash up on the island. Then her Cynthia doll washes up on the island. And you're like, okay, well, like, I think it's, I don't know why, like, what was the point? I think she always has a Cynthia doll in the show and whatever, so I guess that's the point, but.
Yeah, because I remember the, one thing I remember is the Rugrats movie where there's like a big plot point where she loses Cynthia or somebody takes her or something like that, and then you have the song where it's, like one way or another, and she's like, she's like on a quest to get Cynthia back or something.
She's like
one way or another. I just remember that from the that film.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Also, yeah, the dog is with them.
Oh yeah,
the dog is with them. Also,
do you know why the dog's with them? Because he didn't fucking tell anyone that they were going in a shitty boat. So they were like, well, I mean. We could pay for someone to look after the dog or whatever, but it's a cruise. You know, it's dog friendly. I've looked it up. That we've got all the dog's supplies as well. You know, the dogs are going to have a lovely time. And Stu's still there like, that dog's not going to have a lovely time.
That dog's not going to make it.
Oh, I'm going to have to eat the dog. I haven't got enough food.
Oh, no.
So they wash up. They're losing their minds. And as this is going on, the kids just fucking wander into the jungle. Yet again, proving my point that they're terrible parents.
Because everyone's mad at Stu for, obviously, you know, chipwrecking them all and everything. They're all mad at him. So he wants to fix things, and they've assigned him, they're like, you can look after the kids while we try and figure out what's going on. And they all walk off, leaving him with the kids. And he's like depressed. So he's like, I've got to figure out what to do. And then he gets an idea. So he's like, Angelica, who is, what, I'm assuming three. Also like three?
She is three, yes.
Angelica, you look after the kids, the babies. You, three-year-old, look after all of our children. There are so many fucking kids there. Even okay. one would just be so, ridiculous. And then he was okay, like, so I'm going to go dip.
I think they might... They're either one or two. I can't remember. But you've right. got... You've got four, let's say, one-year-olds. You've got 2 3-year-olds, one of which is in charge, apparently. And then you've got a newborn baby. And yeah. a dog. Like, yeah. what the fuck?
And why... So there's this thing where Spike, the dog, can't use his... Like, his nose is all sniffly or something? Was it just because they were shipwrecked and stuff, so he's got a cold or something?
I guess so. I don't know.
Because he's just, like, his nose is just, like, snotting. And yeah. he's trying to find the kids, but he can't get their scent.
Smell, yeah.
And it was at this point when we were seeing, like, him. And I had already seen, like, the cast list, and I was like, oh, shit. Bruce Willis plays somebody in this. And didn't put it together that Spike was the name of the dog initially. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, yeah. They're on the island with the wild Thornberrys, one of whom can speak to animals. So this is probably going to be like the first time that we've ever heard Spike talk.
Yeah, 100%.
Or anything. Like, Spike's always just been the dog. And now suddenly he's going to have this whole personality. And it's Bruce Willis.
it's fucking Bruce Willis. He's good in this.
Yeah, he is.
Shout out to Bruce Willis. Like, he's really... Because I thought, when I saw the cast list, I was like, that's fucking hilarious. Because I was just imagining, like, fucking diehard Bruce
Die
Willis.
Diehard Bruce, yeah.
Just voicing this dog, like...
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Let's find these fucking kids.
Like, but nah, he's good. He's doing the dog thing. They're making dog puns.
Yeah.
So they're in the jungle.
I don't remember why the kids. Why do they go off? What are the kids actually doing?
Oh, is it because? I don't know, but Philip has a crack addiction for bugs. Like.
Yeah, he really wants them bugs.
He's fucking... Philip is like, come on, Lillian, we got to eat bugs. And Lillian's like, Philip! She's like, yeah, you can't eat bugs. I'm a vegetable. I think she says I'm a vegetarian now.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And it's because she saw, like, earlier we saw this plant, like, eat a fly, but it was part of, like, a song or something, because they do a few songs in this.
Yeah, I wasn't really prepared for all the singing, but, hey, I remembered that being a thing from the films, so I was like, okay, I'll let this slide. Not happy about it, but I'll let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There's a fly gets eaten by the plant, and she's like, fuck that. I ain't eating bugs anymore.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Yeah, and Philip just loses his fucking mind. Like, when she says, no, we're not eating bugs anymore, like, the screen goes all fucked. Like, his vision blurs.
They do like a big fisheye effect.
When she's
like, I don't want to eat bugs anymore. Yeah. And he's like, that was such a weird fucking... They do a couple of weird things in this movie where I'm like, man, kids, like, them, they're going to be eaten by this tiger and shit. And like, and then later on with the jaguar. No, is it a leopard?
Leopard.
Yeah, you're just like, what the fuck is this demented shit?
It's so weird. Like, that fucking... Did you... Was it just me? Or... Because there's... When we're introduced to the leopard, Spike has run off by himself, and he runs into... What's-her-face from the Thornberrys, the one that can talk to an animal. So she's chilling with the monkey, and then Spike's like, you can understand me, I'm Bruce Willis. And then they run into the leopard. And then Bruce Willis and the leopard have, like, a musical number together. And I was like, is it just me, or is there some, like, sexual tension between this, leopard or the dog? Because I don't know, they were, like, they were kind of doing...
Dude, that song went fucking... That song went fucking hard.
Yeah.
I was actually like, this is pretty good. And he's, like, the whole time, he's just... The whole idea is that Spike is saying... Because the girl, her name's like Eliza? Yeah.
Eliza, yeah.
Eliza, right? So Eliza can talk to animals and stuff, and then she's saying to Spike the dog, like, "Not be fucking careful, this is a leopard, like, we need to get the hell out of here." and he's like, "Nah, it's just a big cat. Like, yeah. I know how to deal with cats. Oh, they're all like... You know, these claws can't do nothing to me." And he's like running circles around this leopard the whole time. But yeah, it does kind of seem like, because they both sing in the thing, and it's like really good. So you're just like, dang, he's playing.
He's trying to smash, dude.
Yeah,
like, he's on holiday. He's seeing some foreign,
some exotic, yeah,
exotic, sensual being.
Oh, I don't have it here now. I was gonna say I had the description where it said something about encountering some exotic adventures or something.
Oh, stupid. But he's trying.
So
to
they're kind of, I think. So while he's trying to fuck, all the kids are off in some different places, because you've got, like, earlier on, Chucky gets...
He gets separated
from the group, and then encounters... What's the kid's name? The young kid from Thornberry's. Yeah, that guy. So he encounters him, and obviously they're similar-ish. They've both got, like, kind of crazy hair and whatever. And... What was interesting is that they
Donnie, that's it.
They did the exact joke from Garfield 2, where they're, except instead of it being between hedges like it is in Garfield, it's they're on either side of a waterfall, and I think he, I can't remember if he's lost his glasses by this point or not, but he's looking at this waterfall, and Donnie's on the other side, and they're both, he's like, "Oh, that's weird, that doesn't look like me." So he starts doing, like, loads of crazy actions and poses and dances and all this kind of stuff, and Donnie's like, it kind of completely matching him, which is what they did, like, they did a bit like that in Garfield. But they do the exact bit where they're doing all of this, and then there's a ridiculous bit where Chucky does loads and loads of stuff that you couldn't possibly predict really, really, really quickly, but he's not looking at Donnie while he's doing it, so Donnie just stops and waits for him to finish, and then immediately, like, mimics him as soon as he turns around. And they did that exact same thing in the Garfield thing, and I was just like, it's one of those things where I was going to do it and I didn't end up checking. I was like, I wonder if one of the writers or directors or someone who worked on this then also did Garfield.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Tim Curry's in both. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, maybe it's just a Tim Curry thing. But they're like, hey, do you remember that film?
You should make them dance.
Yeah, Tim Curry was like, "Man, you're doing the cat and the dancing." They're like, do you want them to copy each other? Yes!
I've yeah, seen it before, it works.
It works, you bitch. Come with me, you dirty slats. But yeah, so
I think it's kind of, I mean, from there it's just,
yeah,
it's just a lot of, like, capers and stuff, and, like, Angelica's being just the worst.
She nearly
kills her entire, like, the family and extended friends
multiple times, and so does Dill. I've written Dill is a cunt.
I don't remember him doing like anything in this movie.
So no, just canonically, Dilla's a cunt.
Why?
So he's just when Dill doesn't in the show, he's introduced a bit later. Like he's not in the start. And then if you remember in the film, he's
isn't he the worst?
He's the worst.
Isn't it like the whole thing of Tommy's getting used to the idea that he's got a baby brother and he's taken away all of the like attention from him or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it one of those kind of things? It's, and he's like, "Ugh, I hate my new brother."
Yeah, yeah, literally. And they're trying to like they get separated. Dill, Tommy's like trying to look after Dill, and he's like sharing a blanket, and then Dill's like, "My blanket." Like,
I remember. Oh, dude, you just unlocked a memory bank.
Yeah, yeah, and then I fucking quote this all the time, because there's monkeys in the jungle. I don't know why we're talking about the first rug, but fuck it. There's monkeys in the jungle, or wherever they are, that escape from the circus. And they're like, is that a fucking baby? Should we just nick that baby for banter? And they're like, yeah, let's fucking nick that baby. So fucking Tommy does this savage thing where he basically entices these monkeys to nick Dill because Dill's like all happy that he's got the blanket and Tommy goes like, everybody's happy, Dill has his blankie. And the monkeys have the nanos.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And it's raining, and it's like this dramatic thing, and then Dill looks back at Tommy like, what the fuck have you done? And so these monkeys take him away. It's
God
stuff.
Oh, God, I remember that.
So, canonically, Dill is just a massive cunt. Like, because later in this... Oh, by the way, just an update for the podcast. I used to bleep out cunt.
Have you stopped doing it?
I've stopped doing it because a couple episodes ago, I realised I forgot to. And I was listening back and I was like, ah, shit. Oh, well. So now I can't be arsed. So if you don't like that word, oh, well. But he's just a little shit because like they're in the fucking submarine at the end. Oh, I'm jumping way ahead.
I mean, there's not later. Much. They get stuck. All you need to know is that there's just like capers happen. Angelica steals the fucking submarine because she's an asshole, and then they all get stuck in it, including Nigel fucking
Strawberry. Berry.
Yeah, baby
Nigel
berry.
Baby
nice.
Berry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're in the submarine and then they get contact with the parents and then the mum of the Thornberrys is like, babies, you just need to pull that red lever, do you see it? And they're like, yeah, we see it. She's like, push it up. And then fucking Dill is just like, and then just like pushes down on the fucking lever so they hit the bottom of the ocean and sink. And I was like, fucking Dill behavior. Dill's a cunt. He hasn't changed. They're just doing all their little adventures and then they come together. And then it's so fucking weird. Oh, because so you get Angelica meets up with Debbie. You've got Spike and the and
Donnie. Spike. Spike and Eliza.
Eliza. You get Donnie and Chucky, and then you get the rest of them, and they all kind of like come together and whatever
converge.
And then like once they sort of all converge, you finally see the parents. I mean, it's been like almost an hour since you last saw them in the film. And you're like, oh yeah, what the fuck have they been doing? And they're fucking, they've just built like little huts. They're all wearing, they're wearing like leaves as clothes and stuff. I was just like, bro, how long has it been? Like, they've just been straight up vibing. What, the pet, yeah. Like, these babies are lost and they're like, eh, oh well. Has anyone checked
on
the babies?
There was a point where one of the dads, like, came out of the jungle and he'd snuck away to eat the baby food.
Oh,
and then
yeah!
When they were like, you've ate the baby food? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? He literally says, they don't need to eat, or something like that. He was like, babies don't need food. Because he's the one who was saying about, like, they were going to all become cannibals and turn on each other or something. That was fucking wild.
Just fucking wild, man.
They did go wild.
Hey, Rugrats go wild!
No, not Rugrats go wild. We can't do that.
I mean, as much as Stu's an idiot in this, he does build a radio out of a fucking razor and a pen. And I was like, man's a genius.
Is he supposed to be a genius in the thing, or do we not know much?
Yeah, he's an inventor. That's his whole thing.
Oh, okay. I thought so, because there was a point where they were like suddenly praising him and calling him like the genius professor man or something.
Yeah,
because he was inventing shit.
He starts off, he's an inventor, but he makes toys for children and stuff. So he kind of like, don't think he invents Reptar, but he invents the, you know, the Reptar car that they drive around in the first film.
Right.
And then in this, the reason they go to Paris in the second film is because he's building a
Paris.
Giant. they're opening like Reptar Land Paris or whatever, and he's built like a giant Reptar mech. So he's fucking smart, this guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I was like, I knew he was smart. I didn't know he was build a radio out of a razor and a pen smart. Like,
well, I mean, not even just that. When it comes to it, where all those guys are like stuck in the submarine and they're all like literally. So at this point, Nigel Thornberry has sort of regained his adult consciousness because he bumped his head again somehow. I don't remember. And it's like way too harrowing because he's got all the kids around him and he's like, all right, kids, we're going to be okay. And he's looking at the oxygen meter, like, slowly reaching zero.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's sing a song. And he's like, ha-ha, oh, my donut had a fart, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's trying to distract them from death. Like, when the kids were like, I want to go home now, I was genuinely expecting him to be like, why don't we all just take a little sleep? Let's all lie down. Close like I was like, bro,
the hallucination set.
Yeah,
like it was fucking. Like, I was like, no bro, oxygen. Don't. I was like, you're running out of oxygen.
Don't sing
a song.
Yeah, I know. I thought the same.
Whilst watching that bit, he says, "Our McDonald had a lemur," and I was like, "A lemur? Good stuff." I think I rewound it like 3 times.
Brilliant. Oh man, if you were in that sub, you'd be fine.
Yeah, I was like, lemurs, sweet. I'm on Ronald McDonald's side. So they're stuck in a submarine because shit happens. Angelica basically is a
twat. Yeah, it's Angelica.
Yeah, she's next to the Thornberry submarine. They're in the bottom of the ocean. Doesn't matter. They're like, oh, we need to plug up a hole for something, and we need to use our rubber dinghy, Chekhov's rubber dinghy from the start. So they're like, oh, but it's in the ocean. How are we gonna get it? And Spike's like, oh, I could swim out there. I could fucking swim out there. And then he just fucking essentially dies. He just drowns. He's running into the ocean.
I don't remember. Did we see him after though? Right?
He's dying, he doesn't right? really die. Could you imagine?
I'm trying to remember.
Rugrats go wild. They're like, Spike dies.
This is the one where Spike dies. I thought the way you were saying that, legit for a moment, I was like, wait, yeah, what happened to him while he was doing that? Did he survive?
Do we ever see him again?
Do we see him after that?
So he runs into the ocean. He's trying to get this dinghy, but it's just like giant waves crashing onto him, and he's slowly sinking in the ocean, and then he's like his vision's fading to black. And then I think he remembers the babies or something, and he's like, my babies.
Yeah, probably.
And then wakes up and gets the dinghy.
What I'd like is that, because obviously we get to hear him actually talk and like hear what he's thinking and stuff, the fact that he calls them his babies is really cute.
Then
I'm assuming, because I don't remember much about the old stuff, but he's saying that like he's always the one that sniffs them out and finds them and like kind of is there to look out for them and look after them and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was like, it's a bit of a shit job. Because they go missing before you find them. Like, if you were really that good, you wouldn't have let
but
that happen.
They have to go missing for him to find them. You know what I'm saying?
So. I guess. He's like, hey, they're wandering off into that woods. If I just wait about half an hour, then I'll be the hero again.
Yeah. He knows. He gets treats if he does that. So, he knows.
Stu is writing equations on a big rock. And he's got this elaborate plan to, like, get the... Whilst their oxygen's running out, it's hit the lowest of the low. And he's like, quick, we gotta pump up the tires or whatever to this thing so we can use the pressure.
It's basically the RV that the Thornberrys have. It has this big mechanical arm mechanism thing that can go and they like manually control it to go and grab the sub and pull it back. Yeah. But in order for them to do that, they have to get the RV floating again because when she fucked around with things before, she put a hole in the floats that kind of surround the RV, so they had to plug that up and whatever. But the thing that I was thinking though is they were like, okay, well, we need to plug the hole so we can pump up the things, like the float around the outside of the RV, so we can get the RV floating so that we can get those guys back. Cool. And then Stu comes up with this whole thing where he's like, we get this to do this contraption and this and this and this, and then this will do this and blah, 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 this. And I was like, how long are they going to take to make these things?
Yeah.
And also, where do they get the materials?
They build like a fucking, the most elaborate contraption you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Out of vines and wood that they just happen to have and just all that stuff. I was like, bro, how long did that take you? They're dead though, right?
Yeah, but they've got this big billow, things that are like pumping air at either side. I'm like, where'd you get that from? Yeah,
oh, it's so stupid.
They've lost oxygen. They lost oxygen 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's been a week. They're like, do you reckon they're still alive? We've got to try. and then they get rescued and it's kind of it, really.
Yeah, you know, they're all like, oh, the importance of family.
Yeah, the importance of family, and also I'm getting I'm divorcing Stu because he's a terrible, terrible person.
No, he made up for it in the end by making all those contraptions over that week.
Oh, yeah, and he got a radio.
Look, just because they didn't survive doesn't mean, you know.
Stupid. So that's about everything. Oh, bad film good?
Yeah, I'd say bad film good. It was fun. It was like, it was one of those movies that I feel like can be, it has a measure of fun for adults as well. Not in any rude way, but just in like, some of it's just a bit funny and silly, and I know that we'll definitely have the nostalgia bias, but
yeah,
it seemed like it was genuinely like just pretty good and funny. And I mean, Nigel Thornberry has such an iconic voice because it's Tim Curry, but also just that specific, Tim Curry. Like,
yeah,
but he has that specific, like, oh, yeah, smashing, yeah. That is brilliant. Oh, fuck, I got rid of it. My favourite quote from him in this film, he said something about, like, it's in the beginning, you see him on the TV, and he's like, oh, this jaguar wants to bite my nether regions. I was like, yes, brilliant. I do wish we got more of him in this, but
you can't
have him stealing the show.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. I would have just happily had them all die at the start of the film, and then it's just Michael Thornberry going about his day. And they're dead. Well, let's fuck this jaguar. but, yeah, that's about all that we've got for this week. Next week, we're watching... What the fuck? We're watching Last Airbender, but that's like from ages ago.
Yeah, that's a long time.
So next week we're doing a film it's quite an interesting film because you might not have heard of it. Maybe you have. As I just get this. Oh, yeah. Next week, we're doing Nothing But Trouble, which is Dan Aykroyd's one and only directing performance.
Oh, brilliant.
It's going to be a time. Don't look anything up about it. You're not allowed to. The listener, you can. But you, Deegs, you're not allowed to look up about it. Yeah, so if you want to help out the show, give us a 5-star review or, share us around, tell a friend. If you want to keep up to date, we're on Threads and X.
No! No! Every time I edit, don't do this to me!
Woo! Reference
We've got a
back!
Really... no, fuck's sake. We've got some really good clips up recently as well. We've got the old junior Arnold eating cake off a baby's foot.
Yeah, that's if you ever want to hear me laugh as the most I've ever laughed.
Oh, fucking hell. That was good.
That was good stuff. It hurt. It hurt. That's how much I was laughing.
Yeah. But that's on Instagram and on TikTok.
Threads.
Well. Yeah. No Threads. Not making a goddamn Threads account and having to delete my Instagram account to get rid of it.
but as always, we'll leave you with AI Wars, baby. I probably haven't described it for a while, so it's we used to do inspirational quotes from Inspirobot, which is a random quote slapped onto a random image generated by an AI. But then I said, these aren't funny anymore. But you said, I think they're still funny. So I decided I would start giving memes from ImageFlip, which is a random meme generator. But you said, nah, fuck that. I'm sticking with Inspirobot. And then we started putting them against each other. And what happened was, as soon as we started doing that, Inspirobot became funny again, and ImageFlip became shit.
Yeah,
but
we've had some.
We've had some arcs, and ImageFlip is on the resurgence because I found the not safe for work filter. so it's currently Inspirobot 13, ImageFlip 12. So this
I don't
is
like that.
For,
I need
this
I need
is
a bigger
to
cushion.
Tie the score.
Nah.
And I feel like you're just not going to let it happen.
I'll be like, no.
No, it's funnier.
Shit.
But I'll let you go first and see if I can
beat No, I went first last week. You go first.
Did you? I can never remember. All right, I'll go first. All right, so this is the Yoda meme. Where it's just up, it's just a picture of Yoda. But the text said, "I'll just say the text." And then I'll do it in the voice. But it's right. This shit bussin', girl on girl.
No.
That's similar to you. This shit bussin', girl on girl.
No.
Oh, you're gonna have to pull out something.
Oh man.
It's a good one. It's gonna take first. Some beating.
All right. Well, I've got a very nice, like, beach sunset kind of vibe going on. We've got, half the screen is the sky and the clouds kind of loosely covering the evening sun in the sky. Got this kind of golden hue. It's that real golden hour type kind of deal. You got the golden light across the horizon of the sea, and then it kind of moves into the sand as it gets closer to the screen. And there's a couple that are standing on this beach, and they're holding hands, or kind of holding like shoulders, staring into each other's eyes, and stood there on the beach with each other in this kind of golden moment. And it says, "Hate, hate, make hard."
Make me hard, baby.
Look. Make me. Yeah.
Look, that's what makes me hard.
Is that Lola Bunny? Oh. But, what is that?
It's Debbie from.
No! No. She's a fucking teenager, dude. You're going to get cancelled.
Is she?
In the show, yeah. Yeah, I'm in like, the show.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she's a teenager, because they say it in the thing. She's like, oh, I'm a teenager. I'm supposed to... No, it's when she's having to go at them on the phone, and then she says, like, I'm a teenager, and I reserve the right to, like... To, like, hate this, both this... of you on or off. Oh, no, Aiden. This is the end.
This is... For context, I've sent some fucking, like...
It's like a thirst trap of, like, an older version of her.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take this as be cancelled.
Look, this could be the last episode of Bare Felt Good. Let me just look up. Oh.
You looked up the age.
Let me do it.
Debbie, what's her name?
Debbie Thornbury.
Oh man, let's have a look. She's 16. Dude, you're done. You're done.
Oh no.
Oh man, you're done. That's it.
No, she said she was 18.
No.
All right. Well. Who won? It's gotta be. It's gotta be.
It's gotta be yours, Bussin. Yes.
Well, that's nice because we ended on a draw. The last episode of this, Bad.
The last episode. Before Aiden goes to jail.
It's been a good run. We had episode is this? 85 or 84? Something like that. We had a good few
episodes. Like
84 episodes. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. if you want to contact
He's going
to
go
me,
turn himself in.
Yeah. It's the honorable thing to do. Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, look, you fully trapped yourself. I don't understand. You were just like, oh, yeah. Hang on a minute.
I was like, oh, this is funny. Because I looked up what her name was, and that was like one of the first images. And I was like, oh, this will be funny. Just send him a stupid fucking bunny-esque thing.
No. I thought you were going to say, dude, you should have just sent me the fucking bunny from Space Jam.
Lola Bunny.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were sending me.
All right, well, enjoy the rest of your lives, people.
Yeah.
I'm sure
Aiden's gonna... I'll be interested to see who you get on next week as your new...
Aiden on.
Oui, bonjour. I only date 18-year-olds. Good job.
French. Yeah, he's setting it straight early.
He's setting it straight. He's putting that on the record.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Yeah. We should have ended this. Bye.